Welcome to this episode of the Mind of the Escapist podcast. This is a podcast centered around film, video games, television, anime, and more. I'm your host, Terrell. In today's episode, I'll be reviewing Bo is Afraid, which is the latest film from director Ari Aster, a director that I admire greatly and one that I haven't spoken about in great detail on this podcast yet. I do want to review Hereditary and Midsommar at a different time, so I'll go further into detail on why I love those films, but just to give you a bit of context, Hereditary and Midsommar are two films that impacted me in different ways, and when it comes to horror films in recent years, let's say the past 5-6 years, these two are at the apex in my opinion. Among the best that we've received in the past half a decade, instant classics in my opinion, and they immediately made me admire Ari Aster for a number of different reasons. And it's got to that point now where I could confidently say that Ari Aster is one of those directors where I'll go and watch whatever he makes. If he's making a movie, I'm interested. I don't need to know what it is, who's in it, I'm gonna watch it regardless. Now, this latest film he's had in development for quite some time. He started making this after Midsommar, of course, or started to develop the script further after he made Midsommar. But this is actually a script that he first wrote about 10 years ago, I believe he said in an interview. And I believe he's got a short film that's named Bo. And I don't know how similar to that short film this film is and whether it's a direct expansion of what he was doing in that short film or if it's just something completely different with a similar character or the exact same character with the same name. But he has got a short film named Bo. And yeah, he said in interviews that this is a film that he's wanted to make for a very long time. It was the first film he tried to make when trying to break into the industry, but everyone turned it down in the state that it was in. And then he went off and made Hereditary in Midsommar, and now he's come back to it. And it's a hard film to describe for a number of reasons. You almost can't put a genre on this film. There's a lot going on, and I guess I will say to begin with that this film is 3 hours long, which that in itself is an endurance test these days. And you have to be a very good film to warrant that runtime, and it's got to be very well edited and paced. And for the type of film that this is, it's quite unusual to get it for 3 hours, and I'm actually quite surprised. And this goes for the runtime, but the film in general, and you'll understand why when I get into it. I'm surprised Ari Aster was able to secure $35 million in order to make this film. And I can't believe that this film, as it was shot, as you know, producers may have looked at the dailies, as it was in the editing room and being cut, I'm shocked that nobody pulled the plug on it. I'm grateful that they didn't, but I'm shocked that they did. And then I'm also shocked that the runtime is at 3 hours. This film originally, I think Ari Aster said there's a 4-hour cut of this film, but then he had to then cut it down. How this film could even last 4 hours is beyond me, because it's already a lot at three. But the fact that the studio didn't force him to chop it down even further is quite remarkable in some ways. They really allowed him to just take his vision and manifest it however he see fit with no limitations. That's how it seems. And I gotta respect that, especially in today's Hollywood where a lot of things are very formulaic. You rarely get, you know, your original films these days. You get a lot of films that are based on popular IP, and to just get a film like this, which is just so original and so unique, and it's a very unusual thing these days. It shouldn't be, but it is. And this film's very abstract, and it's a challenge, and I guess I'll get into that part before I go into details about the film. It's a very abstract film. It's the type of film that a lot of people may label pretentious. It's the type of film that a lot of people might end up hating, but some might like. And it's not a film that I would recommend to everybody, but that doesn't mean that I necessarily think it's a bad film. It's just that you have to be somewhat aware of what you're getting yourself into here. You know, if you're a film fan, a cinephile, you watch films all the time, you watch a lot of different films that general audiences won't watch, then you may be more at home with this than someone who just, you know, casually watches films, might find a film to watch, look for a horror film to watch, a comedy, whatever, and just, you know, scroll through Netflix endlessly and find something and watch it and be satisfied. If you're that type of viewer, this isn't going to be the film for you, because it not only requires a lot of thought, and not to belittle casual viewers and say that they don't want that in films, because they do, but it requires deeper analysis. I loved Hereditary and I loved Midsommar instantly when I watched them. Those were two films where in the middle of watching them, I could tell how much I was loving it, and I was thinking to myself, this is all-time level for me as I was watching it. So I really, really had a strong response to those films as I was watching it, and I knew immediately as the credits rolled, that was something special in my opinion. I didn't feel this way with Bo is Afraid. And once again, I'll say that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad film, but I just didn't have that instant, okay, wow, that was something incredible. It was definitely something different, but I know it's a film that's going to take multiple viewings and a lot of analysis to fully decipher. And that's the other thing about these films, which makes it very interesting. When you're reviewing a film like this, you kind of almost immediately come to expect it before you even watch it. But then as you watch the film and then when it ends, you immediately know, okay, I'm going to give an opinion on this. But that is subject to change depending on how far down the wormhole I go in terms of exploring what this film's actually about and thinking about it thematically and letting it marinate on my mind. This is one of those films. So if I were to talk about this film, let's say I watch this film a couple more times in the next 6 months. If I were to talk about it again, my thoughts on it might be completely different to what it is now, because I would have a greater understanding of the themes of the film and would have had a lot more time to process it. So it definitely is one of those films. It's just worth noting. But this film is challenging. It's not an easy film to watch. And I don't even really mean that in terms of a disturbing or suspenseful way, but just in terms of its runtime for the type of film that it is. And in my opinion, it is too long. I think the pacing does dip around the second act somewhere. But before I get into that a bit further, I said it's a challenging film. If I was to try and find a point of reference to kind of get you to understand what I mean by that, Darren Aronofsky's film Mother, which came out in 2017, was a film that was very polarizing. And that was definitely one of the most frustrating experiences I had in a cinema, in a mostly positive way. But just trying to wrap my head around that film and what was going on, and it was very anxiety filled and very off the wall and just non-stop. That film frustrated a lot of people when it came out, and a lot of people just immediately turned themselves off to it, didn't like it, wasn't interested in, you know, giving it the time of day to really find out what it was trying to do. If you didn't like Mother, then I don't think you need to watch this film, because in some ways this film made Mother feel pretty tame in terms of that endurance like perspective of watching the film. Mother was frustrating at the time, and I don't think I've ever watched it since. I have got it on 4K Blu-ray, but I don't think I have watched it since. That was frustrating in the cinema, and I do remember some people walking out and never coming back. This film is equally, if not more, confusing and kind of disorientating with what it's doing. It's a film that is quite wildly unpredictable in areas, and yeah, I just wanted to give that warning. If you didn't like Mother, you're not going to like this. Another film it reminds me of is The House That Jack Built. I can't really go into detail about why, because if you've seen that film, then it may put too much information in your head about this film that you may not want to know until you watch it. But House That Jack Built is a film that I watched when it came out. I watched that in the cinema, and it's a film that I enjoyed as I was watching it, but I was really trying to keep up with it and understand it all and work it all out on that first viewing, and I struggled. And it's a film that I sat with for a little while. I did like it when I walked out of the cinema, but it's a film that I still sat with for a little while. And then it wasn't until I watched it a couple more times that I really grew to appreciate it a lot, and its allegories and what it explored and how it actually did it and the execution of it. And I think it's a very underrated film that people don't really talk about. And there's elements of the commentary and the way in which the film is kind of structured, and also the conclusion of it, that is something that I felt was similar in Bo is Afraid, albeit I don't think it was done as successfully. But what is Bo is Afraid? I've done a lot of talking about the film thus far without really getting into the meat of what the film is. Wikipedia describes this film as an American surrealist tragicomedy horror film. Don't think I've ever heard of a film that has been described in such manner, but because I couldn't slap a genre on this film, I decided to see what Wikipedia said, and that's what they come up with, and it makes sense. This is a very surrealist film. It's very hard to keep track of what's actually happening in reality and what's happening within one's imagination. Now, I'm just going to read the official synopsis of the film just to give you a brief overview of what the film's actually about. The synopsis reads, "A paranoid man embarks on an epic odyssey to get home to his mother in this bold and ingeniously depraved new film from writer-director Ari Aster." The way I would describe Bo is Afraid is it's like a 3-hour odyssey through the anxiety-filled living nightmare that one man is experiencing. Where those abstract qualities of this film come into play is in depicting what goes on internally with someone on a day-to-day basis, especially if you're dealing with whether it be particular mental health issues or any disabilities or any conditions that you've been diagnosed with, or just common anxiety. This film kind of puts a spotlight on those things, but through the lens of how we view it as an individual. So Joaquin Phoenix is the lead here as Bo, and he's very good in this film. Very three-dimensional performance with a lot of emotion, and there's a lot of scenes, some great sequences in this film that are very long takes that really focus in on him and just let him perform, and he does it incredibly well. But this character is a very anxiety-ridden character. There may be trauma within his past. There's hints at trauma within his past, which is, you know, as we know as human beings, can shape a person as they move on, whether they like it or not. And what he does in the first act of this film, which I believe is the strongest and most engaging act of the story, is he really hones in on how those feelings of anxiety and panic attacks and the weight of expectation and the pressure of time, how those things can really affect a person, especially if you're prone to struggling with those things. And it's all linking into the cinematography and the mise-en-scene. It's all of those elements are what he utilizes to capture that feeling, and he does it incredibly well. There's a scene early on where someone is sliding paper under the door of Bo's apartment, and they're essentially accusing him of playing music really loud when he isn't, and somehow Ari Aster manages to make the act of sliding paper across laminate flooring very eerie and unsettling through his camera work, editing, and the score. And it's things like that which really show how much of a masterful control Ari Aster has over his scripts. And the score itself is very effective in this film. I believe it's the same composer, I forgot his name, I believe his first name is Bobby, same composer as Hereditary and Midsommar. It's a similar fairy tale-esque dreamlike score, but it's really effective here, and it's really effective at heightening those moments of anxiety and contributing to the hallucinogenic and dreamlike nature of this film, because the film itself almost feels like a lucid dream or a lucid nightmare where you're existing within one man's anxiety for 3 hours, and you're literally observing the events through his eyes, including not only reality but all those things that go on in your brain when you're anxious. The film literally documents a visual manifestation of those anxieties that a person may have. And the first act, like I said, I believe is the strongest, but also the way it's staged and the way it's set up is really impressive and really engrossing, because at times, and this goes for the whole film, but especially the first act, it felt like a theater production in terms of how the shots were composed, in terms of the blocking. There's some incredible blocking shots in this film where there's a lot going on. The extras, you know, frames of the film are completely packed with a lot going on in the background, the foreground, and it's all things that you're being drawn to, and that in itself could potentially create the feeling of anxiety within the viewer, because you're trying to track everything on screen in a particular shot, and there's just so many points of interest going on, you can't really lock eyes on one individual thing, and it's quite a bit of a frenzy, which kind of represents Bo's mind as he's going through these scenarios. And I think the way that Ari Aster achieved that was very unorthodox and very strange, very idiosyncratic, but it worked really well. Now, this film isn't a straight up horror film. It's not like Midsommar and it's not like Hereditary to some degree. If you go into it expecting that type of framework in terms of horror, it's not what you're going to get, and you're going to be disappointed. So don't go in expecting that. Although I will say some of the themes of the films, Midsommar and Hereditary, some of the themes are kind of referenced within this film in different ways. Not to say it's referencing the films themselves, but I just think thematically there are some subtle parallels in some degree in terms of family, relationship with mothers, which is something that you could relate back to Hereditary, and the exploration of that and the destruction of that, if you will, when things like that go in a bad direction. But despite it not being a straight up horror film, there are still striking visuals that are disturbing and unexpected. Ari Aster has a real talent for creating shocking and memorable moments. If I think back to Hereditary and Midsommar, there's multiple scenes and multiple shots throughout those films that, to me, became instantly iconic the moment I witnessed them. And they're scenes that kind of get ingrained in you and you don't forget. There's moments in Hereditary that I won't forget, and I'll never forget how it made me feel in the moment. And I think he's very good at putting that unsettling imagery on the screen, whether it's building up suspense to a particular scene or literally dropping it in your face unexpectedly. And there's a few moments like that in Bo is Afraid. There's a sex scene in this film that is intentionally awkward and amusing, but it takes a very sudden, sharp turn into disturbing imagery. And the way in which he does it, it really jolts you. Not in a jump scare type of way, but it almost makes your blood run cold. And the imagery that he puts on screen is the type of imagery that will stay with you. And I really appreciate that about Ari Aster. And I know he may want to branch out and do other films. I swear, this may not be true, but I swear I heard an interview somewhere where he said he wanted to make a Western. If he wants to do that, go ahead. I'm gonna be watching whatever he makes anyway. But the handle that he has on creating disturbing imagery and how good he is at actually applying those disturbing imageries at the right moment and displaying it in a certain way, that's very effective for the audience. The skill he has with that makes me want to see more horror from him, you know? So I'm gonna need Ari Aster to kind of stay in his horror bag for a little longer, because I think this man is so talented at that. It would be a shame if he completely drifted away. But what I think he'll end up doing, and he kind of does it in this film, when he's making films in future, I think he will still find ways, no matter what the genre is, to pepper in those moments of horror or those disturbing elements. Even in this film, he manages to do it. And this film in itself, like I said, Wikipedia called it a tragicomedy, and it is a film about the tragedy of one man's life and the anxiety. And it's a surprisingly funny film. I did not expect that going in, but the film really plays into the laughs. Sometimes you're laughing because there's just funny stuff going on screen, or a funny moment, a genuinely funny moment. Other times you'll laugh because of how absurd some of the things that's going on in this film are. And it really does make it feel very theatrical once again in that regard, in terms of how it will get that audience response. If you're dialed in with it, you know, if you're actually paying attention, you will kind of, or if you're enjoying it, shall I say, you will find the humor in it. Whereas if it doesn't click with you in that regard, you're not going to find any of it funny. You're just going to find it really irritating. So there's like two sides to it. But I'm interested in that balancing act that Ari Aster conducts with this film and this script. And it's one of those scripts where I just think there's so much going on scene to scene in this film, so many fantastic shots and varied shots. This must have been a nightmare to write, but also to prep. This film must have been a nightmare, you know, to shoot, especially because it is so long, and it must have been so draining on everybody. But I think what the result is you've got a film that really, you could really call a piece of creative art. You know, there's a lot of films that get made, and of course there's a creative visual art form, and all film is art in a sense, you know, creative art. But there's some films that genuinely feel like a piece of art. There's so much packed into it, whether it be thematically and visually, and the performances are so great that it's literally like this is one man's vision, just with no control over it in terms of outside, you know, outside opinions. It just feels like this is 100% Ari Aster, whatever he conjured up in his mind. And he's got a messed up mind, trust me on that. This is what it is. And I have to say that too. Ari Aster, you know, I love Hereditary, I love Midsommar, like I said, but that man's got a fucked up mind, you know. And you'll watch this film and you'll come out, and when I came out after watching this film, I just thought to myself, what is wrong with that man's mind? In a good way, but I hope he has some therapy. And I went to watch this film high, and it's very fitting, I believe, because I think after you see some of the things that he's put in this film, you'd question whether he was high when he was writing it, because there's some outlandish things in this film. There's an iconic scene in Hereditary set in an attic. He's created another iconic scene. Well, I won't go as far as to say iconic, but another memorable scene in an attic in this film. I won't say what's going on in that scene. You'll just have to wait until you see it yourself. But yeah, there's no real way to prepare you without spoiling it for what's going to happen in that scene. So I'm just going to stop talking about it. But there's a scene in an attic. You'll know when you see it. And there's another great scene with paint. That's all I'm going to say about that. The cast that surrounds Joaquin Phoenix were good in this film. And like I said, there is a lot of comedy in this film, and some of it is intentional. There's a character in the second act that is quite comedic, intentionally so, and the comedy does work. But then, like I said, you get some of that more absurdist comedy that comes from the situations that's occurring in the film. But like I said, the first act, I think, is the strongest. Once it gets to the second act, the film kind of does shift. And it's quite interesting, really, because I feel like I wanted to see a film like the first act for the whole runtime, but it does kind of shift once it gets to the second act, and it's still entertaining and it's still good, but it's kind of doing something slightly different compared to the first act. And then once it gets to the third act, in fact, there's a little section in the towards the late portion of the second act where I think the film just meanders too long in a particular setting, and there's a whole very abstract sequence going on. There's a lot of flashbacks intercut within this story as well, but there's this whole abstract moment going on within this this second act towards the end of it, and I liked what he was doing and it was very bold, but I do think it kind of dragged out for a bit too long and made me feel the runtime. But then by the time the film reaches its final act, there's even more surprises being thrown at you and it's taking another shift, and that then kind of re-engaged me with what was going on until the end. And then you get to the final scene. I think one of the things that Ari Aster may potentially be known for as his career goes on is for his very peculiar and ethereal and somewhat surreal endings. And of course I won't go into detail here with it, but the ending is definitely something that will kind of leave you scratching your head, and the score really plays a big part in that ending, just like it did in his previous films as well. Now this film is kind of messy by nature, and I think in some ways it feels very scattered in an intentional way, because that's what the mind of someone in this type of position with these type of feelings would feel. It would feel very scattered. Your mind would be all over the place. If you're anxious, you know, a lot of thoughts enter your head in rapid succession. And I think what Ari Aster tried to do is translate those rapid thoughts of someone dealing with anxiety into something that you can digest visually in order to understand the perspective of the character. And in that regard, I think he succeeded with this film. It's very different. And I want to say I enjoyed the experience. Didn't love it, but I enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed the ride. It is a bit of a roller coaster. I found it interesting and compelling to experience a film like this, because films like this don't come around often. Films where you actually feel like it is a bit of a test. And I don't even mean that in a negative way. But a film where you sit and watch it and you really don't know where it's going. And you kind of just got to submit yourself to the film and go wherever it takes you. And see how you feel. And you'll spend the majority of the film trying to keep up with it and trying to process thoughts and try and understand everything that you're seeing. But I think to some degree, there's a lot in this film that you're not supposed to understand. Because people with anxiety and things like that often don't understand certain things that enter their head and certain things that they see and things like that. But it's a very abstract, surreal film that has a lot of images that are supposed to invoke a feeling of unease. And I do appreciate the fact that he was able to translate that as successful as he did in this film. But I just don't think a lot of people are going to be able to appreciate it on that level, because it is, in terms of what, if you think of what a standard film is supposed to be in terms of story structure, in terms of information and how easy it is to follow, this film kind of breaks all the rules in those regards. So I just don't think a lot of people are going to vibe with it. But you kind of got to know yourself when it comes to this film. You know, if you want to try something very, very different, then definitely check this out. If you do like those more abstract type of films, then you will still want to check this out. But if you are a bit more, you know, enjoy your films a bit more in a specific way, then you may want to avoid this one. And, you know, negatively speaking, like I said, the main criticism I have of this film is the pace and the runtime. I think it just goes on for too long. Film's grown on me. I watched it last night and it's grown on me, you know, within the past day, just through thinking about it, in terms of some of the things that I may have pointed out as a negative, I'm starting to think is quite positive, which is, like I said, just how much of a assault on your senses this film is in terms of what it throws at you. But and the ending did come out of left field, and I don't think the themes of the film are that clearly laid out. There are some that are clearly laid out, but it's dealing with a lot. The film's dealing with a lot and it's throwing a lot at you, and I just don't think it was concise enough. Not that it was trying to be, but I just don't think it was concise enough in that regard. Hereditary and Midsommar are films that I love. Beau Is Afraid isn't a film I love. It's a film I enjoyed and I do think it's a good film. I do appreciate that it exists, but it's not on the level of those other two films in my opinion, but multiple viewings might make me change my mind with that. In terms of Ari Aster as a filmmaker, I still think he's one of the most exciting filmmakers working today. The way he frames his shots, the way he, you know, shoots actors, the way he lingers on actors and allows them to perform. He's got a lot of style to his direction, which I'm already starting to see specific traits within. So, you know, and this was the same with Hereditary and Midsommar. I know I've referenced those films a lot in this review, but watching those two films, you could already see his style and the shots. And, you know, if you've got a day to night transition, he's going to hold the shot and cut immediately to the same shot, but a different time of day. Things he did in those films, which have returned here, and it's kind of nice to see that kind of progression of his style. But yeah, I wanted to talk about that film. Definitely wanted to speak about it because of my admiration for Ari Aster, but also I think this is a film that is going to get people talking naturally. If anyone that watches it is going to want to talk to somebody about it, because it's just one of those films. And I am curious to now, because I don't really like to look into reviews and what people have thought about films, especially films like this, prior to watching it, because I want to go in blind, but also because I don't want to hear any outside perspective really that may influence my thoughts a bit subconsciously. I'm going to be interested in hearing other people's opinions on this film now and really dive diving into everything that's going on in this film and trying to decipher it all. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Beau's Afraid is definitely going to be one of the more polarizing films of this year, and it's not a film I can recommend to everybody. You kind of got to know your own taste with this one a bit. If you want a challenge and you want to watch something very abstract, something that's not going to give you all the answers up front, something that is going to kind of overwhelm you visually and in terms of the sound design and kind of be a bit of a frenzy, if you know you might like that or you just might be interested in it, then definitely check it out. If you're a fan of Midsommar and Hereditary, then maybe you're big enough of a fan of Ari Aster like myself to just want to watch whatever he makes. If you're not that hot on Ari Aster or not that keen on just watching anything that he makes, then I still say maybe be cautious about watching this or whether you want to watch it, because it is a commitment. It is 3 hours. It's not easy to sit through, and I do think he made it purposefully not easy to sit through. But that is my thoughts on Ari Aster's Beau is Afraid. Thank you for listening to this episode, whether you listen to the whole thing or just snippets, it's all appreciated in equal measure. If you did enjoy this episode, make sure to follow this podcast on your respective platforms so you don't miss any future episodes, and I'll speak to you guys in the next episode.